Support for the show comes from Atlassian. With a new story about AI coming out seemingly every day, it can be hard to know what it all means for you and your job. Atlassian thinks there's a lot to be excited about in the AI-powered future. Even right now, Atlassian's AI-powered software can help you boost productivity by eliminating menial tasks, generating insights, and helping you find information about projects, policies, and processes. No matter if you're a team of 2 or 2 million, or if you're around the corner or on another continent, Atlassian software keeps everyone connected and moving together as one towards shared goals. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. That's Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Support for Pivot comes from ServiceNow. By now, you've probably heard about AI. You might even be sick of hearing about it. But despite all the hype, it's not always clear how AI can help your business. ServiceNow has some ideas. With their intelligent platform, they can put AI to work across your company, improving customer experiences, helping non-coders code, accelerating your IT team's productivity, and resolving HR cases faster. So, work can actually work better for everyone. So stop the hype and start putting AI to work. Go to servicenow.com/genAI to see why the world works with ServiceNow.
Hi, everyone. This is Pivot from New York Magazine and the Vox Media Podcast Network. I'm Kara Swisher.
And I am changing my name.
Why?
I am the explorer of the oceans of my rage and anger. I am the Dog Cousteau. My new name!
Where did...
That's right. Do you realize how far I have evolved? Okay, let's look at Scott's major influences. TV, all right?
All right, yep.
Love both. The first show I ever watched was I Dream of Jeannie. Okay? Jeannie, get in
master.
Your ball. Yes,
I know,
master.
I know.
And then
we
got cable, and you know what I watched then?
What?
More I Dream of Jeannie. Okay. Then I evolved to Three's Company, then Charlie's Angels.
Oh, God.
I am the fucking Alan Alda of podcasting compared to my upbringing.
This is me, too. I watched all those shows. Love Boat, Love American Style. Do you remember them? Do you remember all those things?
That's
it was
right.
Come
and knock on my door.
Come and knock on my door. We've been waiting for you. Oh, my God.
Dog Cousteau.
All right.
Dog
In any
Cousteau.
Case, thank you for that trip, everybody, to tell you how old we are. Today, we're going to unpack Twitter's confusing new policy. A star anchor is getting suspended indefinitely at CNN. We'll take a listener question about Tesla. And also, today, the day we're taping, is Dr. Jeffrey Swisher's birthday. So I want you to say happy
D-Swish,
birthday.
Dr. Swish.
He is his birthday. He's a great brother. I posted lovely pictures of him when he came to Hong Kong when I had a stroke. He flew right over, took care of me. He's a great brother.
Nice.
Happy birthday, Jeff.
Yeah.
He deserves.
Well,
he likes being on Twitter.
What if he was governor and needed your help? You would just ignore his calls?
No.
Sorry, couldn't help it. Couldn't help it. Couldn't help it.
You know what he wanted?
Let me virtue signal about other people's families.
Here's what he wanted. And let's see if you get the reference. He wanted a vagina tunnel for his birthday.
What?
From Succession.
Oh, God, that was good.
Congratulations. You've just been born into the world of Kendall Roy.
I'm sorry. Kendall's having a breakdown. Kendall is having a breakdown.
Keep watching. I don't know
really?
What else to
You
say.
Little saucy minx.
I'm
are you teasing
saucy
the dog?
I am teasing,
are you teasing the
dog.
The
anyway,
dog?
Jeff Swisher's birthday. Wish him a happy birthday on Twitter, everybody.
You know, he's in my speed dial. If I end up in jail, I call Preet. And if I end up in the hospital, I'm calling D Swish.
You should. He's a very good person.
Yeah, very smart guy.
Wonderful man. He's a wonderful man. Yeah, anyway, but first, the UK's competition watchdog has a mandate for Meta sell off Giphy. Ooh, Giphy's really important. That's a really cool company. The Competition and Markets Authority said that Meta's acquisition of Giphy would reduce competition between social media platforms. Obviously, these are GIFs. Meta says it's considering an appeal in the next 4 weeks. What does Meta need Giphy for? Why not? Of course, you know, Twitter's got its version of things where you can pick GIFs, GIFs, or whatever you call them. So what do you think? What do you think?
Well, in other news, South Africa, you know, wants me to be General Consul of Australia. What difference does it make with the UK? I don't understand how a foreign country regulates the breakup of an entity that's domained somewhere else. Don't do this, does this mean they can inhibit their business? I don't know what this means.
Low-hanging fruit, I guess. But, you know, they should be focused on the big things. Meaning this is just little stuff. I mean, there is an overall look at all their In the European Union, there's one going on. There's a bill that's moving slowly to completion that Marguerite Vestager is pushing, is sort of hip-checking into existence, which would look at that. But looking at acquisitions over time is what it, a real smart group of lawmakers need to do that, not take, you know, shoot off Giphy or whatever. It's probably going to be around Instagram or WhatsApp or something significant. So whatever, UK. UK's been tough on Facebook, though. You know that.
Have at it.
Whatever. They've been tough on Facebook comparatively. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, it's done a lot of good, too.
Yeah.
It's done a lot of good. Let's have the new CEO of Instagram go testify.
You know, maybe like Jack Dorsey leaving Twitter, it will happen someday
Jesus
for you,
Christ.
Scott.
And your
That's
Twitter
one of your
Spaces
wishes.
Thing, what a but, bunch yeah. of sycophants you invited on. Not only roommates, but sycophants.
They are
talking about, well, maybe Jack decided to go do crypto. No. He was fucking fired.
All right, okay.
Let me get this.
You know, I got into a beef on Twitter about you saying that with someone. I forget who it was.
Oh, okay,
but he was
hold
calling
on.
You. He said I shouldn't be affiliated with you. And I said, I said,
well,
this
I mean,
is,
first off, that is good judgment, but I'm right on Jack Dorsey.
No, I know, but he was all up in my grill about your thoughts on Jack Dorsey. In any case,
what a guy who is treating a company like a 70 CEO treated a golf course swing by on Wednesday and on Sundays.
Life is complex. Some of the things he's done are good. Some
this
of them
is not
bad.
That complex. Hold on a second. Hold on.
Okay.
I have a good friend. At Twitter, who's a senior executive there.
Yeah. Okay.
Very talented guy.
Okay.
A ton of options.
Okay.
A ton of options professionally. Could have gone to work for Google, Snap, the New York Times, Pinterest.
Right. Whatever.
And over the last 5 years, he has not increased his wealth, nor has any one of the 5,000 employees
what is
at Twitter.
For stock punishment? Why did
you
he stay?
Are a fiduciary for other people's economic well-being, not for your own raging narcissism using a company as your plaything. And I can't get over the number of apologists for this bullshit behavior. Anyways, sorry, go ahead.
It's not a plaything. Oh, my goodness. It's more complex.
It was a total plaything for Jack.
Complexity is not your thing, is it? It isn't. It was not a plaything.
A total
really,
plaything.
No,
10%
it's not.
Of his
no.
time.
No. I get that part. I that there he lost me. But what he made is really, nobody else made that.
He so invented it. Good for him.
All right. Well, it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
He got $1 billion for it.
Yes,
does that
true.
Mean that all 20 right. years, 15? Okay. Here, just a quick stat. Quick fun
all
stat.
Right. All right.
In 2013,
I know business is business.
But hold on. In 2013, when Twitter went public, on the day of the IPO, it closed at $45.
Yeah.
Do you know what it is today? $42.
I know. I wrote this in my column.
Name a tech company that is trading below its IPO price.
I got it.
Oh, but
I
he's got it. Beard oils, and he's a thoughtful guy that speaks in speaks
you
in
know
hushed
what?
Tones.
He's moved on to Block.
That's just weird. Who do you work for? Block. I work for Block.
H&R. Remember the ads? Speaking of old people, remember the ads? H&R Block. You know, I there was
no, that
there
was E.F.
HR...
Hutton. That was
oh, you're right. Oh my God.
E.F. Hutton. You're so old, you're losing it.
Listen to me. Here's
you're losing
someone,
your cultural references.
Listen to me. Here's someone you're going to have a hard time insulting. Stacey Abrams says she's running for governor of Georgia.
Oh, gangster.
Here's an announcement.
That's the job of governor, to fight for one Georgia, our Georgia. And now it's time to get the job done.
In her last run, Abrams lost to Governor Brian Kemp by just 1.4 points. Kemp will likely run again, but without the support of Donald Trump. Donald Trump is after him, trying to get Herschel. Was it Herschel Walker? I don't know. Whatever. No, he's trying to get him to run for senator. But Donald Trump is after Kemp, which is interesting. Georgia, under Kemp, implemented a strict new voting law since the last time she ran. Could make it harder for people to vote. She's been running a group that tries to fight that and was quite effectively during the Senate races, which she is lauded for creating, getting Ralph Warnock, for example, in office. Trump obviously is still mad at Kemp for not delivering Georgia, and he half joked about supporting Abrams as revenge. I think he likes Stacey Abrams. Is he crazy enough to do it? I don't know. Tell me what you think. I really like Stacey Abrams. I love Stacey Abrams. I think she's the real deal, as they say.
There are so many people. I mean, what's the definition of being a citizen or the definition of character? It's doing the right thing when no one's looking or helping people who will never even know you help them. Stacey Abrams is one of those people. Why?
Yep.
Because without her, the Republicans would control the Senate. And none of this shit, whether it was child tax credit, any voter, any attempt to push back on these mendacious voter laws masquerading as – that shouldn't masquerade as anything other than poorly veiled racism. We owe that to Stacey Abrams, who put on a masterclass around voter turnout in Georgia, where we flipped – not one, but I believe we flipped both, or did we hold on to one? Anyway, Stacey Abrams is someone, regardless of whether or not she wins here, should go down as someone who has added a great deal of value to the Commonwealth.
I think she might win. I think she's going to be president.
I hope so.
That's my feeling.
I will support her. Will you support her?
I have interviewed her many times, and I have to say, I interviewed way before she got famous. I was so wildly impressed, and I've interviewed a lot of people. This was when she was just head of the Georgia Senate. I had never been more wildly impressed by someone. And it wasn't like, you know how someone just convinces you and they're surfacey? This woman has got layers, like layer after layer of intelligence that's just beyond. And she's also odd and weird with her Star Trek thing and her writing. Mm-hmm. Romance. No, I just find her fascinating. She is who she is, and I like that about her. I think she's but very strategic, and she has a really smart team around her. And I think, you know, I think what she has to avoid is looking like an elite. She has a very interesting needle to thread. Also in election news, by the way, speaking of which, someone you probably can say bad things about, Dr. Oz is running for Senate in Pennsylvania, even though he lives in New Jersey.
Why can't I say bad things about him?
Oh, you can. Oh, I'm just kidding. I'm saying you can't find a good thing to say about him.
So you want to hear my view?
A quack. Yeah, go ahead.
Want to hear my view? Yeah. I 100% am going to support Mehmet Oz. I'm going to give money to the campaign. And I will put my name on it, despite the immense amount of shit I'll get, including from your brother. I have known Mehmet Oz and his family for over 25 years.
Oh, no.
He's a good man. He's a great husband. He's a great father. And not only that, we need more centrists on both sides. I'm a huge fan of Mehmet Oz. Count me as a supporter.
I don't know. He's Trump leaning. We're going to really part ways on this one. He has peddled so much snake oil. And his stuff around COVID was very problematic. And I'm not like speaking like this. I don't know what happened to him. I have to say, I don't know what happened to him. And I don't think, by the way, he doesn't live in Pennsylvania. As someone who was born in Pennsylvania, my family's
from Pennsylvania. Well, neither does Senator Clinton. I mean,
well,
come on.
You know what? I don't love any of that. Right. I don't love any. It's opportunistic. And his like bear hug of Trump is gross. Like he's not a Trump supporter.
What choice do they have, Kara?
They do have a choice. They do.
What Republican has not bear hug Trump? It has not been a bear hug. It's been a mild hug. He was not the Trump endorsed candidate. First, let's throw that out there. Two, and let me be clear. On the junk science stuff and the attempt to grab attention because he was running a show every day, he fucked up. And I think he knows that, and he's paid a price for it. Mm-hmm. And if we're going to continue to look at every frame of everyone's life and cancel them based on one stupid decision, this is a guy—
I'm not canceling him. I think he's a consistent oaf.
We need more doctors. We need more healthcare professionals. We need more centrists and moderates on both sides of the aisle. We need people with character.
Agreed.
Who demonstrate professional excellence.
I wish someone—
He fucked up. He's paid a huge price. That doesn't mean he shouldn't serve in public.
You know who I'm going to give money to? If you're giving money, even though you're richer than me, I'm going for John Fetterman. That's who I'm giving money to. I love John. I did a great interview with him. I think he's also the real deal.
Say more. I don't know
he
much
about
He is
the lieutenant governor of Pennsylvania, and he's got that. He's speaking of cool beards. He's got one. He's just great. He's a Bernie Sanders supporter. He's more to the left, but he's not. He's fantastic, like interesting character, longtime Pennsylvanian. Really, the working class were really attracted to him. He's very got a really interesting family. He's also a family man. Just a fascinating guy, and very much trying to help the town he lives in Pennsylvania again. I think you would take a gander at John Fetterman. Just do that. The other guy's running is the centrist.
I'm on Team Oz. And bring it on, everybody. I'm on Team Oz.
In any case, with Dr. Oz, TV stations in Cleveland, New York, and Philadelphia announced they'll pull his show to comply with FCC's equal time rule. You know what? The right-wing person's going to get the nod, I suspect. Next, David Marcus is leaving Meta. I like David Marcus. He was running their cryptocurrency efforts, Diem and Libra, and he previously oversaw Messenger. He's been in payments for a long time. I like David, and I think he was quietly agonized. That would be my guess about him. He was over to the side, not dealing with a lot of the other stuff, and oversaw some really interesting stuff, although didn't get as much attention. But I suspect it's the beginning of more people leaving.
Yeah, you know I'm eye down, but he put out this press statement, and I'm like, okay, so you were there for 6 years, worked on something, and it never launched. That's got to be frustrating.
Wasn't the focus, yeah. I like David. He's a very canny person, and I suspect he was like one of those people you talk about, which is, where do you work? Where do you work? You know, in Silicon Valley. He's an entrepreneur. He'll do just fine.
Here's the cloud. I mean, let's be honest. Anyone who's still at Facebook has made rationalizations for damaging the Commonwealth and massively increasing teen depression.
Yes,
they have kind of, I don't want to say sold their soul, but just come to an agreement, and I empathize with this, that I need to make a living, and I think I can change this organization for the better, fine. But what is probably really going to be damaging to them is that I think a lot of people are coming to the conclusion that after its incredible stock run up, that the stock just might come under pressure over the next 6 to 12 months. Mm-hmm. And that I think probably a lot of executives who look at their opportunities say, well, I'm going to go find the next gig where I can, you know, run a stock from 10 to 300 as I did here.
Yeah, David's an entrepreneur. It'll be interesting. I mean, what do you say? Like, for example, people at the Wall Street Journal and Rupert Murdoch, like, they do great work at the Wall Street Journal. Are they facilitating that? Are they, you know what I mean? It's one of these things, unfortunately. Awful people own laudable things. We left because of that, but me and Walt. But it still is. I don't begrudge anyone who's.
That's the mother of all false analogies. The Wall Street Journal.
No. But it was something when people are at a company and a part that has nothing to do with the other part. This what he was doing had nothing to do with. We're very disputatious today. I see this is happening because you love Dr. Oz.
Oh, I'm God, riled
I can't
up.
Believe this.
I'm riled
I can't
up.
Believe this. Maybe I will cancel you. Anyway, David Marcus will see great things from him, I suspect. CEOs and insiders have sold $69 billion of their stocks since January, making 2021 a record-breaking year. Four super sellers are behind more than 35% of all sales. Guess who? But these are regular sales, though. Musk, Bezos, Zuckerberg, and the Waltons. They've got all this cash.
Musk's sale is not regular.
Yes.
Remember on stage when he told you he would be the
last
out?
No, we're not arguing about this. He was accurate of what he was saying. He was accurate. He had to sell. In any case, he didn't have to do his dumb poll. That is correct. So what do you think about all this selling? It's just take your money.
Look, almost every metric that comes out, almost every piece of financial data, whether it's valuations, price earnings multiples, or the amount of money being sold, or the percentage of companies that are unprofitable going public, we're setting new records or the chart looks dramatically like where we were in 99 and 2007. And here's the thing. CEOs are generally very bright people who understand the company really well. There are planned sales where you're just diversifying and getting liquidity. But there are also sales, though, where insiders say the stock's trading at a healthy valuation. And it's just good financial planning right now. I tell a lot of management teams that I'm on the board of, if we're doing a private raise, take some money off the table, because this might not be the top, but it is a very good time to sell. Mm. And usually it's not a good forward-looking indicator of market performance when insiders are selling. Yeah. And that's one thing they have to disclose. But it's just striking how reminiscent all of this is of 99 and 2007.
Oh, no. Oh, well. Okay.
We'll
hold
see.
On to your hat.
But when guys and gals like us say that, watch out, that usually means the market's going to go up another 40%.
True.
The key question is this, we know 2000 is coming. Mm-hmm. The question is it 1997 or 1999, right? It's, anyways, we'll see.
Do you know what Karis Fisher does? She doesn't look at it at all for years, for decades. Just lets it sit
there.
That's
smart. That's a good investment strategy.
And hopefully it'll time it right when I've decided to retire, which is never at this point. So it doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. I just have to keep earning. So time for our first big story. Twitter unveiled a new anti-harassment policy this week that left users very confused. I was quite confused. In a vague statement, Twitter said it would, quote, not allow the sharing of private media, such as images or videos of private individuals without their consent, unquote. The announcement immediately raised questions about how the social network could handle images of everything from concerts to police brutality. A Twitter spokesman clarified a few points. Consent is assumed until someone reports their own image being used maliciously. Public figures will still be fair game and likely include police officers. Very confusing. And now I can't be posting all those embarrassing pictures of Scott Galloway that I have.
Hello.
It's possibly, this is like, I see what the goal is, but how unenforceable can you make something?
I literally read this statement and I thought, this feels as if it was written by someone who was working at the firm 10% of their time. Mm. I just couldn't. Do you get this shit?
I get the idea of safety is people putting malicious pictures up.
Okay,
they have,
you get the
they
idea
should
of
do
safety?
It on a case-by-case basis. Like, I, you know, I...
They're a media company. Yeah. They should have an editorial board to make decisions. Anyways, I don't, I, I, All I did when I read this policy, it seems to me this statement is like PR hell, where they got a bunch of lawyers and a bunch of their comms people in a room and said, that's okay, confused. Here's something that sort of makes sense. And now let's all shape it into something that makes no sense.
Yeah.
I just couldn't understand what they were trying to get to here. I did not get it.
I think it's quite confusing. And it said it will leave images up if it, quote, adds value to the public discourse being shared in public interest or relevant community, but it didn't define any of those terms. It's typical of these people. We don't know what the rules are. We don't. It's like, can you stop at this stop sign or not this stop? It's the stop button, but it's not a stop sign, Kara, kind of thing, which I blow through them all. But how will Twitter balance social concerns here and why are they deciding? It just wades them into... I don't know. They should just, like, if people complain about maliciousness, they should have an investigative editorial team that deals with it and makes calls as best as they can. This seems very confusing. So I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what to say. They have to deal with safety. Safety is important. But you don't want to begrudge people feeling unsafe on that platform. I've been one of the big pushers about that issue. But it's really weird. It was not well done. Not well done. Right after Jack was leaving, there might be some weird timing here.
You know what my favorite policy was? The New York Times, when social media was burgeoning, mm-hmm. and they were trying to figure out what a policy for their journalists in terms of the use of social media.
They still don't have, nobody has a good
yeah,
one.
Yeah, but I thought the policy was mm-hmm. great. The policy was use your common sense.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I love that.
But then when it got into practice, very confusing. Very confusing.
Tough.
It is.
Yeah.
It's very confusing. Once you give people a little bit of like, hey, get out there and show yourself, it creates a problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pushback. Washington Post had a real problem around tweets and this and that. So it's an ongoing problem, but this policy does not help the situation. All right, Scott, let's go on a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about the trouble at CNN and take a listener mail question.
Fox Creative.
This is advertiser content from Atlassian.
One of our customers who produces pizza at a very large scale all across the world, believe it or not, they use AI to review the quality of the pizzas that are created. That goes through a workflow that scans the images of the pizzas and makes sure they visually look like what they should. So it's pretty cool.
That's Sharif Mansour, Atlassian's head of AI. Sharif thinks there's a lot for companies to be excited about on the AI-generated horizon, spanning everything from making pizza to producing podcasts like the one you're listening to now.
There'll be far more jobs created on the other side of this revolution.
Instead of a world of less, Sharif envisions an AI-powered world of more.
In everyone's day job, they're moving from doing the thing to often being an architect of the thing. It unleashes the potential of every human. And I think we can go from a world where few people have access to a high level of intelligence to a lot more people having access to this information. AI is really giving everyone on the planet more resources to do great things. And I'm very optimistic about that opportunity that lies ahead.
Transform teamwork with the power of AI-human collaboration. Start using Atlassian Intelligence for your Atlassian products like Jira and Confluence now. Learn more at Atlassian.com. That's AtlassianCom.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Scott, we're back with our second big story. CNN has suspended anchor Chris Cuomo indefinitely, whatever that means. Newly released documents show the close level of coordination between Chris Cuomo and the team defending his brother, then Governor Andrew Cuomo, from accusations of sexual harassment. Chris Cuomo used his resources as a journalist to gather information on Andrew's accusers. The younger Cuomo discussed his suspension on his radio show. Let's play a clip.
It's embarrassing, but I understand it. And I understand why some people feel the way they do about what I did. I've apologized in the past. I mean it. It's the last thing I ever wanted to do was compromise any of my colleagues and do anything but help. I know they have a process that they think is important. I respect that process. So I'm not going to talk about this any more than that.
Well, I'm so sorry he's embarrassed and it hurts him. but he misbehaved. The documents came from, apparently from these documents, but there's going to be an internal investigation, not an outside one. They're doing it internally at CNN. It came from the Attorney General's investigation, and it seems like he did a little more than he told his bosses that he did, which is a problem. I think apparently Jeff Zucker's furious. We should mention that Scott has a show on CNN Plu launching next year, but is not, I don't think you were involved with it. You're on, you've been on Anderson Cooper's show. Anderson Cooper's show is going to be made longer, and they'll find someone to go in that slot, maybe Jake Tapper, who in an interview with me complained about Chris Cuomo's behavior months ago, said it was a real problem, created a real problem for people there. So Scott, what do you think? I mean, I know he's defending his brother, but eesh, gabish. I don't know.
I mean, there's literally absolutely no upside to me saying anything about this, only downside.
Right.
So, but like, that's going to stop me.
Yeah, I don't think
me.
It should. I'd love to know what you think.
Well, look, I don't, I'm not that close to this situation. And as someone who's not a journalist, I don't think I can speak thoughtfully to what is the right decorum in
not
terms
this.
Of a journalist and conflicts. Yeah, I know enough to know that this is not kosher. What I would say is that I don't know Chris Cuomo. I like him and I like his show. What I would say is that when it comes to family, I'm not going to say he did the right thing. I empathize with what he did. I also think that CNN is doing the right thing. I think it's possible that occasionally you have just a bad situation that involves bad decisions. I think Chris Cuomo has handled this well. I think he's acknowledged the problem and is trying to take responsibility. In a certain way, I understand why he did it. When your sibling calls and needs help, I think you correctly maybe lose some judgment filter here. It's family. And I think people say, well, it's the governor or it's the guy who did this. It's your brother calling you. Anyway, you should take this before I get canceled. I get my show canceled again before it airs.
I think he should be fired. I think this is ridiculous. He seemed to have sort of downplayed it. And then these documents come out and he embarrassed Jeff Zucker, who had been his big supporter. I know he's the most popular thing on that channel, but nonetheless.
Is that right? Is his show number one?
I believe so.
He's more popular than AC?
I believe so, but he's one of the top ones. In any case, look, this is just, if he was, like someone pointed out on Twitter, if he was an intern, he'd be gone. Like anyone else, he'd be gone. Like gone. And to underplay it like this to his bosses and underplay it to the public, he was helping. Yeah. This is like not a little helping. It's not like he could have done anything in those emails to say, you know, this is really problematic for me. I'm not going to talk, but good luck. And I support you as a brother. Yeah. He could have done that. But let me check that. Let me find out when the story is coming in. Let me do this. And then he put it in emails, which you're like, you're also dumb, right? So I just feel like, it is fair to expect a journalist to set that aside with the family. You can support someone emotionally. It's sort of like Kavanaugh sitting behind his friend. Joel Kaplan sitting behind Kavanaugh at the hearings. He shouldn't have done it. I know he's his friend. He can pat him in the back room, you know, and be there for him. But he is also a Facebook executive, and it looked terrible. I get it. But I don't get it. This guy, you know, CNN is caught up in all kinds of scandals around several of their anchors. So it seems like this guy should go. And I know internally at CNN, they're a whore of the other journalists. They put the other journalists in a terrible position. They become a target for the right, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And even though they point out at Fox, Sean Hannity can campaign at Trump rallies and nothing happens to him. Well, guess what? Those are Fox News' rules. So whatever.
Right.
And I don't think it's like as Tucker Carlson, Tucker Carlson was saying, you know, he's being taken out by the woke mom. Bullshit. Tucker Carlson wouldn't know an ethic if it fell on top of his, his blockhead, speaking of blocks. But this is so clear that anyone below this guy would have been fired in a New York minute and has been.
So what I will say is, and this is my limited experience so far with CNN, is they take so I've worked with a lot of networks, and CNN standards are very high.
Agreed.
Whenever I go on a show, whenever I cite data, they immediately say, you know, they ask me and my team for references, and they fact check all the data. And when I've gone on other networks, it might be just a resource issue.
No,
but
CNN
they're
has
not
a famous checking. Amanda, my wife, worked there, used to work there, and they had this system for stories that she did. She was an editor that was really so impressive. like they're fact checking, they're legal. It's an insult to the people who do that there, I think, that he would try to be this oily and try to squeeze out of this. I get it. I mean, he's a good brother, but oof, wrong side of this thing completely. Wrong side of this thing. And I think
I find that the media is obsessed with each other. I don't want to say this isn't a big story, but the media just obsesses over each other. Does America really care?
No, but I think it's just look like we shouldn't go, oh, Fox is messy, therefore we can be. Like, no.
Agreed.
No. I don't care what they do over there.
Agreed. It's just there is an issue though. I do get it. I think it's great that we on the left and including media networks want to be fair and balanced. And I actually think the Wall Street Journal it does a pretty good job also of being trying to be balanced and have pretty good standards, but distinct of their ownership. But it just strikes me that, I don't know, there's something about, it's like the crazies on the far right and the journalists is like, we've given up on them, but the people in the middle who are moderates, we can save them. Let's throw them into the purity fire.
No, it's not purity. Scott, come on. He lied. He lied to his
here
bosses.
Comes.
No, it's not
here
purity. It there's a thing called journalistic ethics that we try to hew to, and we aren't always successful, but boy, is this a violation. Like, it's an enormous, enormous violation of that.
Well, okay. Let me go back to my initial statement. I empathize with him, and I think CNN is right. You know, to your point, they have standards, and they're clear about their standards, and he clearly, it feels like, crossed the line.
Well, they have to do an investigation, and that's what they should do. I wish it was independent, but fine. But, you know, I remember on the last point on this is when the Washington Post had that mess around Janet Cook. I was in college at the time. They did, what a screw-up that was, right? That was a terrible screw-up, this fake story, et cetera.
This is like journalistic history that I did not take this class. And I'm sorry, what happened?
All right, she wrote a story about a kid that was given crack by his mother's boyfriend. It was all made up. The whole thing was made up, and it was a gripping story. Boy, I read the whole thing when I was in college. And they ended up doing this.
And it ended up it was all bullshit.
It was all
right?
Bullshit, right? They drove her around. She couldn't find the place.
It was fiction.
And I have to say, it was gripping. Yeah. But they did an investigation. If you ever want to read something amazing, they did this long investigation of it, and they didn't have an outside person either. But boy, was it really a good read. And I read it in journalism ethics class, essentially. And so it's worth reading. It's incredibly long what happened. And they really showed what happened. And I thought it was, the press doesn't always get it right, but it's not a purity test to, it's like doctors. You hew to see, like if you like keep leaving instruments in people, you need to be looked at. Like it's not, don't be so pure about people leaving instruments in people, but.
I'm sorry, leaving
well, instruments
in people?
I'm saying you're doing
people?
This purity test thing. It's like, let's attack like because we, it's not purity,
leaving
it's
instruments in people.
Well, you know, doctors.
Are you getting enough sleep?
I'm getting enough
leaving
sleep.
Leaving instruments
no,
in people?
No, you know what I'm saying. Like we expect.
Scalpel. It's in his torso.
That happens a lot more than you think, in case Dr. Swisher
really?
Will tell you. I'm saying everyone should have standards for their work. And in this case, it looks like he violated them. And if so, and maybe you can run that show and you and Anderson could be like, do a little handoff. It'll be great.
It was a little bit of win-win. I don't know if you saw last night, but AC360 went 2 hours.
Oh.
Hello,
AC. I know.
AC.
It's good for Scott. And by the way, you could be the host. And
it's
you could be the
Scott.
Host. Because no one expects purity from you.
I can almost guarantee that will never happen.
That would
Kara.
Be so cool. That would be, I would, because I know what you're, you know what you're
I am
getting.
Not meant for live TV.
I think it would
I am
be
not meant for live TV. I have a face for podcasting.
Yes.
By the way, I have met Chris Cuomo. He is very
handsome.
Very handsome. That counts for a lot.
Okay.
He is very
right,
handsome.
We're going to move on. And with the listener question, we're not agreeing
good
today.
Looking
this
guy.
Is a non-agreement day, which is good.
Totally jacked.
Listen to me. Let's pivot to a listener question. This one came via email.
You've got,
I can't believe I'm going to be a mailman.
You've got mail.
Is Elon Musk becoming a liability for Tesla? I have several friends who would like to buy a solid electric car, but are not willing to give a dollar to Musk and his bro culture. Musk has tweeted vulgar statements about U.S. elected officials, and he has in his stance have attacked U.S. Auto regulators. He is also at a point that he is overpromising and under-delivering. Cybertruck, Tesla Semi, full self-drive. If I were an investor, I would be seriously worried about an unfiltered Musk and what is happening with President Xi and the CCP. Now that the production of Tesla cars is at a mature stage, is he the future of the company? I'm letting you take this one. You have a car, so you tell me, Scott. Tell this person.
We have a Model X Falcon, and it's interesting to spend $120,000 on a product, and then the CEO starts calling you names on Twitter. I've never had that happen before.
But you love it, right? You love it.
You know what? I initially thought, all right, my initial response was going to be zero fucks given, but I do actually kind of enjoy it. You always said, as long as people are punching down, that's okay. Anyways, but look, I do a predictions deck every year, and I just can't help it. One of my predictions this year, I think in 2022, and let's bring on the flying monkeys in their Tesla bots.
Here you go.
If Tesla goes down 50%, it will still be overvalued. And what's so interesting is, so the lesson here, total addressable market is a huge component of valuation. What is the TAM of a company's opportunity in a marketplace for growth? And essentially, Rivian, Lucid, and Tesla, the kind of the assumption, if you were to call them automobile companies, if their TAM was the auto market, you would say that these three companies are going to produce every EV vehicle, and EVs are going to go from 1% or 2% to 80% in the next 20 years. So instead, they're very smart. They have this massively impressive sleight of hand where they say, no, our TAM isn't the automobile market, much less the EV market. It's climate change. Mm-hmm. We're in the business of climate change. Yeah. And the valuations these companies have managed to I'm a believer in markets. Mm-hmm. And one of the things about markets and fundamentals is eventually they reattach to something called fundamentals. Mm-hmm. And when these companies begin to reattach to fundamentals, you're going to see just an unbelievable recalibration and step down. I said that at $100 a share. I want to acknowledge it's now at $1,100 bucks a share. I couldn't have been more wrong. By the way, something really funny. I just put a deposit on a Rivian. Mm-hmm. I think more competition is coming in. The amount of money here.
Put a deposit on a Rivian. Wow. Why?
And it was hilarious. This really funny Twitter handle called VC Braggs goes, put out my tweet and said, I put out a screenshot of my confirmation on it. And they put out a thing that said, rest in peace, Rivian, and a picture of me in a Rivian, or a picture of me ordering a Rivian.
Oh, my God.
But look, the marketplace, a $1.1, whatever it is, trillion-dollar market cap company that it just seems so outsized here, is attracting all sorts of sharks, ranging from Tim Cook to Jeff Bezos. Mm-hmm. And you got to think at some point that puts pressure, margin pressure on the company. So to their credit, what Tesla has accomplished is incredible. Tesla is now this year probably going to outsell Mercedes, which is just staggering. But is it worth 5 or 10 times what Mercedes is worth?
You know, I think you're high on your Jack Dorsey situation. I think you're going to—
JD, I'm high on JD.
JD, you won on that one. But as to his—
And Apple acquires Peloton.
Yes, I know.
Apple acquires Peloton.
That is going to happen more than this is. So as to his— Let me just answer the question of the listener. As to his vulgar statements and his stands— I don't know what to say. This is him. He's not changed. So if you don't like that, you can choose not to buy things of companies you don't like. It's a great car. Mm-hmm. He's going to make overpromising, underdelivering. I don't think so. I think he's delivered a lot more than most people. Of course, you know, he's like a— I wouldn't call him P.T. Barnum because that's not quite right. But it's good to think big. It's good to think big. And so Cybertruck, Tesla Semi, good for him. Yeah, I don't care.
Agree.
It's fine just to be lots of people have been like that. Look, he's not cheating anybody.
Good for business.
He's not cheating.
Good for business. Good for the planet. Yeah. A visionary. Yeah. Stock wildly overvalued.
One thing,
we can hold all of those thoughts in our head at the same time.
They are what they are. And it's a long time.
A 50-year-old man with 7 kids acting like an 8-year-old, that's been a good business strategy because it creates a lot of awareness for his products.
That's what he's like. It's not a strategy. He's like that. He is 100% like that. So
it's been an amazing strategy.
It has.
But I mean, I agree, it's authentic. Yeah. But I mean, what he is literally in the public discourse, as evidenced by this conversation, every day, which creates tremendous awareness.
Yeah.
I mean, can you name this? Who's the CEO of Ford?
Yeah.
Do you know?
Oh, it's it just changed.
Exactly.
I mean, Mary Barra.
Exactly.
At GM, right? General Motors.
Mary Barra, right. The strategy on Ford, and unfortunately, I just don't think it serves as a good role model for upcoming entrepreneurs. It's just be famous. It's sort of the Kim Kardashian,
she's got some accomplishments you may not like, or same thing with Elon, you know.
Kim? No, I think I think the Kardashians are underrated,
I have all along thought that. So
I think they're smarter than people think.
And we're going to get push back on that, but I don't care. So one of the things he does, like he recently told employees at SpaceX that the company faces bankruptcy due to production delays. He did this at Tesla.
Did you get that? What's going on there?
Because he does that. He gets all worked up. He did that. Remember a couple of years when he was exhausted and then he cried at the New York Times and was talking about that the companies. I think he did an interview with me kind of right after when he got some sleep, where he's like, I just get all up in people's grill and this. That's a tactic of his for sure. And I think it's genuine again, but he sleeps on the floor of the production facility, et cetera. He's an intense dude, people. So if you don't like his jam, don't buy his car. I don't know what.
But just going back to the business side of this, that I look at Tesla and I think there's all sorts of well-capitalized great companies coming for that
is a
pie
point.
That he has grown dramatically. Yeah. Whereas I think SpaceX is highly differentiated. And if you look at satellites, the number of satellites that we're going to need to launch, it's going to go from like 3,000 to 50,000 over the next 10 years. And what Tesla's differentiation is quickly eroding. I think SpaceX has massive moats in differentiation. Specifically, if you look at the cost per kilogram to put stuff into orbit, SpaceX is just killing it. And this is going to be another one of my predictions. I think within, I don't know what the time frame is, I think SpaceX is going to be worth more than Tesla.
Interesting. That's a good prediction. So, we'll get to that in a second. Let me just say, this guy is a real entrepreneur. Everyone, you know, there's all these people And he can't control.
You said it. You know something you said? I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I'm going to quote you. You said something that really struck me, and I let my emotions get in the way of kind of irrational thought. You said once, I think about a year ago, you said, it's not like he's invented a photo sharing app. You know, he's trying to put people on Mars. He's trying to create electric cars. He is doing very important work. Yeah.
Nobody liked Edison. Let's try to keep that in mind. What an asshole he was.
Is that right?
Oh, total asshole.
I didn't know that.
Totally. Go back and really look at stuff. And also hyped everything. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the light bulb. So thanks, Edison. Like, it's just, and the movie camera and the this and then that. So Edison was just, he is so much like Edison. It's crazy. It's not, you know, not as tinkery, of course, but still. Edison was terrible about doing stuff like this and always doing sneaky stuff. Anyway, you can read some very good biographies of him. Anyway, that was a good question. Send us more. If you've got a question you're curious about, go to nymag.com/pivot and submit it to the show. All right, Scott, one more quick break. We'll be back for predictions.
Hey everyone, this is Jesse David Fox, host of Good One, a podcast about jokes. I am proud to announce that I have personally won the streaming wars. And there's a new docuspecial on Peacock based on our own Vulture podcast. Good One, a show about jokes, follows Mike Birbiglia as he develops new material, taking audiences through the process of transforming personal stories into stand-up. Featuring interviews with Mike's family and comedy colleagues like Seth Meyers, Hasan Minhaj, and Asko Akatsuka, Good One, a show about jokes, is streaming now only on Peacock.
Okay, Scott, give us this week's prediction. You just sort of gave it, right? SpaceX, or maybe not.
Oh, there's so much. SpaceX, well, this is like probably a 3 to 5 year. I think SpaceX ultimately ends up being worth more than Tesla. We were talking about CNN. I think that within 12 months, the new discovery, as it's envisioned, is going to be either broken up or taken over. This thing's just going to be so ripe, it's going to fall off the tree. And I actually think
What's falling off what tree? To what hand? To what ground?
Well, if you look at the new discovery plus as it's envisioned, it just doesn't make any sense. It's just not going to survive as an independent company because the shareholder base is used to the dividends and the steady growth of an analog digital company or an old media company that's ad-supported, which is steady cash flows. And the costs the investments they're going to need to make to move to streaming, their shareholder base isn't going to be able to stomach. It'll throw up in an earnings call. The stock will get hammered. And it's the only media asset in the world right now that has these assets. I mean, come on, HBO, CNN. That is in play because everything else dual class shareholders. Yeah. So it's just going to every shark in the world.
So Twitter, as you said last week.
Well, and that's my next. I'm making a lot of predictions within 90 days, Kara. Within 90 days, there's going to be an offer for Twitter because this bullshit with Jack and Elliot kind of ossified the company or put it into a period of stasis. Now that they have a new relatively owned CEO from internally, the stock's down. It's a fucking dinner bell. Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding. Da dog Cousteau.
Can I read you something?
Okay, go ahead.
And why not take a gander, given the huge trove of data that Twitter sits atop globally and its unique worldwide digital distribution system? While the company execs have been unable to grow the business, many think a link with a larger entity would spur Twitter's potential. Guess who wrote that, and guess when?
Kara Swisher.
Kara Swisher, 2016. Same thing. And when Salesforce and Google and Disney.
The Jungle Cat?
I'm just saying, you could write that sentence.
The Sultan of Kalorama?
That sentence could be written.
Let me introduce you to my seventh wife. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm just saying, the same sentence could be written today. This has been an issue since way back when with this company. Always. Anyway, good.
It's time for Twitter to command the space it occupies. Exactly. It's been a disaster for shareholders.
Stand up straight, Twitter. Stand up straight. Yeah. Speaking of standing up straight, one thing we want to say, we had a lot of responses to our interview with John McWhorter. We love hearing from our listeners. Some people were upset. Let's talk about what we hope to gain from our guests. And Scott, you can weigh in a second. Hosting people doesn't mean you agree with them. And I very openly disagreed with him. I disagreed with his definition of cancel culture. I disagreed with his supposed targets of cancel culture. I disagreed with his conclusions. And Scott was much more in agreement with him, but had a really great discussion. We've had lots of smart people on the show, and smart people can disagree. Even Scott and I, like today, frequently disagree. We're very obstreperous today. Now, there was a review in the Washington Post, which said, and I thought it was quite good. I think you should go read it. McWhorter never engages in any of the actual cultish movements that are threatening American democracy. He likewise never engages in actual religions, the ones that get tax breaks and Supreme Court justices who hold power to take away human rights from pregnant people and civil rights from the LGBTQ community. McWhorter managed in the course of 200 pages to claim the woke are perpetrating a reign of terror, a phrase he uses twice, but devoted only three paragraphs, I counted, to the actual insurrectionists who attacked the Capitol and tried to overthrow the government. Again, you could debate that opinion, but it's good to do so. One thing that we can't agree on, how our society balances free speech, justice, and accountability, is an unresolved issue and deserves debate. So we'll keep debating smart people on the show with curiosity, courage, kindness, and questioning. Scott, what do you say to all this?
Well, my question is more for you, and that is, do you feel the need to issue these non-apologies when we offend conservatives?
Yes.
Why are we apologizing for this?
Because I actually get...
Because we had a centrist on the show?
Well, some people don't think he is. So I think it's good debate. When people push back on us, we should say we're trying to have really interesting debates on the show. It's not an apology. It's not an apology by any means. It's an answer.
But why do we need to clarify that?
It's not
that?
A clarification.
We're
not saying we shouldn't. We liked having him on the show. We thought he was great. It's not a clarification.
And by the way, that post review... Yeah. You know, I felt it was unfair. It basically said something to the effect of that he has elevated the term racist to a compliment. Mm-hmm. I have never heard him in any way.
I agree.
I felt that, I mean, and by the way, that's fine. They're allowed to do that and we can discuss it. But I don't, and here's the thing, centrists are really vulnerable because if we had some total whack job from the right on, we would just write him off. But when a centrist comes
on,
throw him into the purity fire.
No, we would discuss it. That is not true.
John McWhorter, this is an important dialogue.
I agree.
Let me reassure you, even if we have John McWhorter on, your Master of Fine Arts book club is going to invite you back.
No, I do not. You know what? Once again, you act like I spend a lot of time in political debates. I think we respond to lots of letters. I think it's good. I'm trying to support your whole point, Scott. And as usual, you're cutting me off at the knees, but it's not.
You are making. We are making Professor McWhorter's point right now.
No, we're not.
There needs to be more tolerance. Yes. And less sensitivity around
that's
robust
my
dialogue.
Point here, Scott.
Okay, good. Then we agree.
No, we don't agree because
the dog Cousteau is taking you down in his shark cage.
You're trying to pull out all kinds of words on me to try. Look, what was the one you used back there? You used purity test on Chris Cuomo.
Sultan of Kalorama.
He lied to his bosses and he committed journalistic malpractice. It is not a purity test. Thank you. This is just to show you. This is what you're going to get here. We do not agree on things, and yet we endure. And I'm staying at his apartment this weekend in New York, and I'm going to trash the place. I'm going to put Claire on the couch with grape juice. That's my plan.
Good segue. You got out of that. That fun house of danger.
I'm not in any danger. Anyway,
You know, I have a climbing wall. Claire, so young.
What?
I have a climbing wall.
You know, I have to be honest with you, Amanda's a little worried that your apartment is like a danger zone for children, that there could be sharp edges.
A lot of sharp edges. Yeah, sharp I like edges. That Northern European I know, danger for children.
I was like, didn't you like his other house? She loved your house, by the way, in Florida. But she's worried about that. And I said, do not worry, but I'm bringing all the soft things you put on edges of tables just to stick them there.
No. Just wrap Claire in bubble wrap and everything's good.
Anyway, I appreciate it. And I will take
pleasure.
Pictures from there. I'll do woke pictures from there. Like I'll have all the woke people in and we'll drink your expensive champagne. Anyway, we'll be back on That's the Show. That's the Obstreperous Show for today. We'll be back on Tuesday for more. Read us out, Scott.
Today's show was produced by Lara Naiman, Evan Engel, and Taylor Griffin. Thanks also to Drew Burrows and Mia Silverio. Ernie Intertot engineered this episode. Make sure you subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts or if you're an Android user. Check us out on Spotify or, frankly, wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks for listening to Pivot from Vox Media. We'll be back next Friday for another breakdown of all things tech and business. What is our job in the media? What is our job in academia? It's to provoke a debate such that we damage that muscle in between your ears, and regardless of where you end up, you make better, more thoughtful, more empathetic decisions. We're going to keep doing that. We're going to keep doing that. Dog Cousteau.
Support for the show comes from Atlassian. Whether you're exploring space, making pizza, or producing a podcast like this one here, chances are your team is marching into the AI-generated horizon. Atlassian Intelligence is unleashing a new era of teamwork. You can use Atlassian's AI-powered products for everything from brainstorming ideas to finding information to summarizing huge documents, all by using normal, everyday language. Atlassian AI-powered software like Jira and Confluence help teams accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how you can transform teamwork with the power of AI at Atlassian.com. That's Atlassian.com. Atlassian.